Chapter 24. Sean Cooper sat sopping wet beside the guard shack. Someone had handed him a blanket, and he had it draped over his shoulders. The shootout had gotten the attention of the local police. Captain Johnson explained over and over that this was a U.S. military matter, but the lead police officer wouldn't let it go. Finally, an airborne major showed up and dismissed the police officers in fluent, angry Spanish. Captain Johnson had to bring the major up to speed, and Sean heard the major asking pointed questions, particularly about Mr. Portman's death. Sean watched the last of the police cars and mounts move off into the night. Army medics had loaded up the wounded Nazis, and they'd been taken away under heavy guard. Two had died in the firefight, and it didn't look good for the one who'd been gutshot. Sean had heard his delirious screams as they loaded him into a jeep and drove away. Ilsa had left Sean sitting there while Captain Johnson had been arguing with the police. He'd watched her go back up the gangway and disappear into the ship's hull. With the police presence gone, he saw her emerge from the hull, and this time she led a group of civilians. He counted 30 of them. He saw Carlos marching behind them with a broad grin on his face. Behind him, he saw another man wearing a captain's hat. Soon the group filed onto the dock, and Ilsa beamed at him as he stood. The civilians' eyes darted in every direction. They looked harried and scared. Ilsa stopped in front of him, and Sean asked, "Who are these people?"
"Jews," she answered.
Sean gave her a quizzical look. The major and Captain Johnson stepped up and looked them over. The major shook his head and placed his fists onto his hips.
"What is the meaning of this? Did they have travel papers? Immigration papers?"
Ilsa's smile dropped. She shook her head and said,
"No, sir. The fascists wouldn't let them leave, so they snuck out with our help."
The major looked hard at Captain Johnson.
"And you knew about this?"
"Well, as I told you, sir, we thought Ms. Engel was a spy, but she wanted to prove she wasn't, so..."
"Men are dead! I don't know who Portman works for, but I doubt I'll like the answer. For God's sakes, man, we're soldiers, not spies!"
Johnson said, "Yes, sir, I realize that. Mr. Portman, well, we received a communique about that. Apparently someone from the colonel's office is on the way here now, from intelligence."
"Kinsler?"
the major asked with a tremor of fear in his voice.
"Yes, sir, Lieutenant Colonel Kinsler."
Even Sean knew about Colonel Kinsler's legendary temper. The major suddenly decided he'd had enough. He said,
"Well, Johnson, you got yourself into this mess. I'll damn well let you get yourself out."
He gathered his confused men and they left. Ilsa's smile returned, but Johnson said, "Don't get your hopes up. I don't know what'll happen to these people." Ilsa lifted her chin proudly and said,
"That's why I didn't tell you. The ship wouldn't have been allowed to dock if you'd known. It doesn't matter. They're out of Europe. They won't be persecuted here like they were there."
Johnson said, "Yes, we've heard rumors. These folks will be helpful for the boys in G2. Sean couldn't keep the smile off his face. Despite nearly dying an hour before, he felt pride and something else swell in his chest. Love? He didn't know, but he liked the feeling and wanted to explore it more. Clyde Cooper nearly burst into tears of joy when he saw the letter and recognized his brother Frank's handwriting.
"Oh, my God," he said as he tore it open.
Abby came running from the bedroom.
"What is it?" she asked in a panic. "A letter from Frank!" he exclaimed.
Abby gasped and put her hand to her mouth. Tears glistened in her eyes, and she watched his face as he read it.
"What? What's it say? Oh, this is wonderful news. Your parents! We have to tell your parents!"
His smile never went away, but it faltered as he read. He finally finished, and his hands shook.
"He's alive. That's all that matters. It's dated May 1st. My God, he wrote it just a few days before Corregidor surrendered."
He handed it to Abby, and she asked,
"What are all these black lines?"
"Censored." She nodded and read through the letter. She had to sit down when she finished it.
It sounds awful, Clyde. You can tell he's trying to keep things light, but...
Clyde agreed. But you can read between the lines.
I know. Let's call your parents. Oh, shoot, they don't have a phone. Let's drop by. We have to tell them the news.
Clyde nodded but reached for another piece of post. This one looked official.
What's this?
It's from my unit. He tore it open and read it quickly.
They want me to report to San Francisco Port of Embarkation instead of Fort Bragg.
She looked confused, and he said, The rest of the unit's meeting there. We're shipping out from there. Abby gasped, and the color left her. He sat next to her and wrapped his arm around her and squeezed.
At least this way. I'll get a few more days here. The trip to California takes a hell of a lot less time than all the way to North Carolina.
She looked into his eyes. He wiped a tear threatening to cascade down her cheek. She asked,
Do you know where you'll be going?
It didn't say, but if we're leaving from the West Coast.
The Pacific, she finished for him.
Maybe we'll be stationed with Sean's unit in Panama, he said, trying to ease her worry.
Or maybe you'll pick him up on the way and keep right on going, she said.
He squeezed her tighter, and she wept into his chest.
I don't want to lose you, Clyde Cooper.
He pushed her from his chest and looked her in the eye. Same goes for you, young lady. Don't you get into any more trouble, he teased. She couldn't help but laugh. She hugged him tightly and said,
I love you, Clyde Cooper.
I love you too, Abby Cooper.